I just got done talking with Andrew Zolden. Zolden is a longtime reoccurring guest on the show. He's notorious Browns fan. He covers Ohio State sports on the Drive the Lane podcast, which can be found on Apple and on Spotify. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew Zolden. He's making really good content. So I had him on today. We talked about the NFL draft, recapping that and how exciting it really was without any other sports going on. And it really had the eyes of the country on it. And ESPN did a really good job with it. So we talked about the NFL draft. Then Zolden's also a movie guy. So, of course, we did five movie trailers that stood out to us since 2010. And some of the selections are pretty funny, and we were kind of able to find what makes a good movie trailer and why do some stand out more than others. And then we recap it all with a little bit of talk about The Last Dance, episodes 3 and 4 with Dennis Rodman and Phil Jackson. So without further ado, we can get started. Here is Andrew Zolden on The Bo Templin Show. Andrew Zolden is joining me. He's the producer, co-host of the Drive the Lane podcast. He just got done recording himself. Zolden, how'd the recording session go?
The interview went very well. We were recording with Liam McCullough, the newest long snapper for the Las Vegas Raiders from Ohio State. He won't get too much into it, but basically he told us a story that going into senior year, he went up to Chase Young and said, "You're going to be the number one pick in this draft. During fall camp, I'm going to do a drill with you every single day where you try as hard as you can to get by me, and I'm not going to let you." And that's how he got himself ready for the NFL. So a bunch of stories like that. It was really cool.
I love that, man. That's awesome to hear. So we talked a little bit at the end of last week. We were bouncing some ideas about how we could get some content in together. So this is what we came to the conclusion of. We're going to go a little bit of the NFL draft, and you're going to carry us because as I'm a commonly known for quoting myself saying, I don't know shit about football. So we're going to start there. We'll go with the NFL draft, and then we're going to do our top five movie trailers of the decade from 2010 till now. Trailers are going to fuel a lot of the movie industry, and I think you're the right guy to do that. So we'll break that down, and then we'll wrap it up with a little bit of talk about The Last Dance. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me. I'm interested to see how many movie trailers, whether it's honorable mentions or actually in our top five, are on both of our lists, because I'm pretty sure we got some similar interests. So I'm looking forward to seeing the similarities between our list.
Yeah, I know one movie off the top of my head that is going to be on our same list. So no doubt about it. That will be the case. I'm excited to get into it. But let's talk a little bit about the NFL draft, all right? The NFL draft's interesting, man. You know, right now especially, we got no other sports, so obviously it garnished a lot of attention. You know, I think it raked in the most amount of viewers it's ever had in the history of the NFL draft. You know, one of the bummers, I think, was, you know, it was scheduled to be in Las Vegas. Obviously, they had to do it remotely, home to home, and we can get into, like, how ESPN was able to manage all that, but they did a pretty good job. What are some of the thoughts you had, just as everything recapped, just to recap it all?
But initial thoughts was that Trey Wingo killed it. He is the man. He killed it. Definitely exceeded my expectations with how into it and entertained I was. You know, me and a bunch of buddies, including Alabama Al, were definitely tuned in for most, if not all, of rounds 1 through 3. And then we definitely had it on in the background, rounds 4 through 7, but this is the most I've ever watched, and I think it's because of what you said. What else are we gonna watch? You know, I've been betting on some Chinese basketball games at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I guess I could watch that.
You're a sick man. For me, I've been more into the South Korean baseball league to feed my time. Also, we get I don't know if you've been betting on the ponies on the weekends, Saturday, Sunday from 1 to 6. You know, you got almost 5 hours of ponies to bet on. So that's kind of been a vice for me and some of my homies out here on the West Coast.
I actually had some NFL draft bets.
Sure.
Weird. NFL draft bets. Some of them hit, some of them did not. But I walked away with some cash from the NFL draft.
What's one that hit?
So I hit on the over under 2.5 Ohio State players in the first round. The Raiders, we keep talking about the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, some would say reached for Damon Arnette at 19, a defensive back out of Ohio State. 19, some people were saying late first, early second. So I went pretty crazy when he got picked 19.
And then, I mean, yeah, that doesn't even include, Burrow, obviously. The LSU guy who spent one year in Ohio State.
I think he was at Ohio State for 3 years,
Wow.
graduated in 3 years, and redshirted 1 year. So he redshirted his freshman year and then took freshman, sophomore, junior year to graduate. So he was a grad transfer with 2 years of immediate eligibility.
Wow. So, like, even in a more extreme Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson went from North Carolina State to Wisconsin, right? Kind of doing something similar, but he even got an extra year of eligibility out of all
Right,
that.
it was a unique grad transfer situation where he transferred after he graduated, but because of that red shirt freshman season, he had 2 years of eligibility left. I hope that's right. I hope
Sure.
that's
Hey,
accurate.
I have no idea, so you sound good to me. So I guess that's a decent place to start. Obviously the Bengals go with Burrow. Lot of expectations for Joe Burrow, and I've kind of been saying that if Tua doesn't get hurt, in my opinion, I think Tua goes one. I'm big believer in his game. Now, obviously the hip injury is everything for the kid, right? If those medicals come back shady at all, you don't touch him. But Bengals go with Burrow. People think that Burrow's this next gen wizard with the football. I think it's Joe Brady, right? The LSU offensive coordinator who's now in Carolina. I don't know how much he had to do with the success of the LSU Tigers offense. What do you think's a fair expectation for Joe Burrow and the Bengals this rookie year?
I think they're not going to have the number one pick next year. And if they do, that's a problem. I don't think it's a fair expectation to say that the Bengals need to make the playoffs because you got a division with big
I agree with that.
quarterback. You got the Ravens who are probably going to be right behind the Chiefs for top Super Bowl contenders. But I think you should have a pretty dynamic offense with Joe Mixon and then the wide receiver weapons that you have there with John Ross, AJ Green. Ooh, I think they drafted T. Higgins. They should have a pretty dominant offense. So I think reasonable expectations are a good statistical year from Joe Burrow and the Bengals, not necessarily translating to a lot of wins.
Fair enough. I mean, I think that's going to be the case for a lot of the teams that have high draft picks, right? Like, things aren't going to change in a year. Now, I would say the exception to that rule is probably the LA Chargers. Obviously they get a lot of love and attention out here, or hate, I guess, if you want to put it here in San Diego. But they go with Herbert, in their first top 10 pick. The rest of their roster is pretty damn good. I mean, the team's got weapons, and defensively, they're kind of dogs. So I don't know. I think if Herbert is the guy who the Chargers think he could be, Chargers could be pretty good and almost contend this year. The question is, can they just keep up with Patrick Mahomes in the same division? I don't think that's the case.
And you also got the Raiders, who we've talked way too much about, who should be improved. So our guy Drew Lock now has weapons, and I mean weapons.
Yeah. So let's get into it with the Denver Broncos here. They grab our boy Albert O, right? Which, and that's a later round pick. I don't think necessarily national media coverage is a huge deal, but for two Mizzou guys like ourselves, I mean, we know what those two can do together. And when Albert O's healthy and he's on the field, I mean, he was as good of a tight end as I saw in college over the last 4 years. What do you think of the reuniting of our two old pals?
So the reason I'm kind of laughing is I actually have a funny Albert O stories.
Shoot it. Shoot it. Come on. Give it to me, my guy.
I was back in Columbia for the Florida game this year, Mizzou, Florida. I didn't get to go to homecoming. I was in town for the Florida game. And I'm in the My House attic, and I see Albert O. And I go up to him, and I go, "What's up, man? You're going to have a lot of draft buzz around you. I have a college sports, I always change what the podcast actually is, depending on who
Sure.
I'm talking to. I'm like, I have a college sports, mainly football podcast that you should definitely come on, and hopefully it'll get some listeners and you can boost your draft stock even more. And he gave me his number. He texted me. He was like, Albert O. And I texted him the next day, like, great meeting you. And then I texted him, like, after he had that crazy pro day, nothing. So never ended up having him on, but I got his number that he probably has changed after I texted him.
Sure.
But I think him and Drew could make a little bit of noise, but he's a big target. You probably will see him definitely in some red zone, so probably get some touchdowns out of them too, not a whole lot of yardage.
Well, and they also got Judy from Alabama, right? And then they grabbed the, I think it's the cornerback from Iowa, who's apparently, and from what my understanding, again, I always predicate my football talk that I don't know shit about football. I come as a very common man approach when I talk about football, but apparently this kid's a ball hawk. He's like one of only two players in the country that's had three picks both of the last 2 years. He's not necessarily like this cover corner, but makes big hits and comes up with the big plays at the right time. Last question regarding the draft. So my pops is a Milwaukee, Wisconsin guy, lifelong Packer fan. And apparently everyone from the state of Illinois wants to just talk about the Packers draft all night long. What do you think about them going with Jordan Love here in the first round?
Well, as an outsider looking in on the Chicago Bears fans, despite living in Chicago, you always want what you can't have. And sometimes, you know, like when you're in third grade and you make fun of a girl because you actually have a crush on her?
Sure.
You don't think the Bears would be snapping their fingers and grabbing Aaron Rodgers if the opportunity presented itself for all the shit they talk? It's just because they're jealous. They're jealous that they have a franchise quarterback that you could make the case is the most talented and best quarterback maybe ever.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of jealousy, but I don't know what the Packers are doing, not getting him weapons. I don't know if you saw that stat today where he has like one touchdown ever to a first round draft pick compared to Peyton Manning. It was 240. Like, it's just,
yeah. So I, you know, I saw all of it, and one thing I do on draft night is I just succumb to the idea that I have no idea what any of these picks mean or how these players' careers are going to go. It is so hard to judge the trajectory of these kids. They're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. So I'm not going to sit here and bash Jordan Love because he's not going to end up one day being Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's just brutally unfair. Now, when it comes to the idea of like surrounding a quarterback with weapons, the best way to do that, Aaron Rodgers was on Bill Simmons' show Any Given Wednesday like 4 or 5 years ago. It aired on HBO. It was more like casual, not sports talk, but not your like standard radio sports talk guy. And Simmons asked him the question, you know, would you rather have C-minus wide receivers or D-plus wide receivers and running backs with an A-minus offensive line?
Would you rather have A-minus running backs and receivers, but a C-minus offensive line, or an A-minus offensive line with D-minus running backs and receivers?
A-minus offensive line.
Really? How come?
Because if you can protect the quarterback, you're going to have an opportunity to find guys open. The defense just can't cover for that long. So, and we can make Green Bay, we can make guys D-minus. We can bump them up to at least a C. So.
And we can bump them up at least to a little bit like a B minus or something like that. And I think that's a decent approach to have. And I mean, they've ran with it for a while now, so they're going to stick to their guns on it.
It's a decent approach, but I would like to hear his response to, would you rather have a B minus backup quarterback or a B minus wide receiver? And I think he's probably taken wide receiver in that situation.
Yeah. But let's get into something that I do know, which is movie trailers. Right? I think, yep. All right. Now you can lock in, champ. Now you can lock in. All right. So we were coming up with like different ideas as to like the best way to incorporate movie knowledge right now or to talk about movies. So I guess I'll open the floor with what's the best, you know, piece of entertainment you've watched during quarantine. I think everyone's kind of had the chance to go back and watch a TV show they didn't get to catch up on or see a movie or two that they didn't get to see. What's something you've enjoyed during quarantine here?
So luckily, two of the shows that I'm currently watching had new season start this year and new episodes going, which are Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Schitt's Creek, which are both hilarious. But then I've been watching, which I assume you've been watching, which is fantastic, is Dave, which is that new Lil Dicky show, which has been great.
So I've watched the first three episodes of Dave. Parts of it I've really enjoyed. So the writer behind Dave, his name's Jeff Schaefer. He helped with Seinfeld back in the day. He helps with Curb Your Enthusiasm. But then he also wrote and directed that show, The League, that did the fantasy football like crew. That was like one of my favorite shows growing up. So I'm a huge fan of his. I hope they do incorporate a little bit more of like Lil Dicky's rapping career as opposed to like the problems he has with his dick. But kind of same boat. Yeah, for me though, it's been Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I've gotten a new episode each of the last 3 weeks. I don't know if you don't have a sister, right?
I have two younger stepsisters, so they're not quite at that age where they'd be watching that yet.
So a lot of people don't like, they don't get it. But growing up, if you have a sibling around your age, like when you fight for the TV, you have to come to compromises, right? So you have to find things that both you and your sibling, your sister, brother, whatever it is, both enjoy. So over the course of time, we eventually fell on Keeping Up with the Kardashians as, I guess, somewhat of a middle ground. I'm looking back at it. Maybe the negotiations didn't go so well. But
jealous. I'm jealous. I've seen some clips, and every time I see a clip, I laugh. So I'm jealous that you're into it.
Dude, it's genuinely funny. Like, it's genuinely really, really funny to watch. So I encourage you to go do some homework on your own. But we can get into here the top five movie trailers of the decade. I'm going to give you just the first overall pick, and not that these are in any order or whatever. These are just five different movie trailers that have stood out to you, and why do you think you remember those trailers above others? You know, there's been 200, 300, 400 that have come out over the last 11 years. So why did these stand out to you?
So let me ask you a question. So if you name one that I have or I name one that you have, do I need to replace it with one of my honorable mentions?
I don't think so. If you feel so inclined to, I'm not going to stop you. But I also want to hear, maybe you have a different reasoning for why you put it in there. So I'll give you the green light if I say something that you already have.
All right. So one on here that I'm not sure if you're going to have that I absolutely loved is the Hobbs and Shaw trailer.
God bless you, kid. God bless you.
So let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Action-packed. The Rock is fucking awesome. Jason Statham is awesome. Okay. Idris Elba, hope he's feeling better. Awesome.
No. That's my door. Pick another door.
What's wrong with you? You know what? You were right. This is your door.
What's the matter? You got a lot of bad guys behind that door?
Okay. It convinced me to see my first Fast and Furious movie.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? That was your first Fast and Furious?
First Fast and Furious.
Dude. Okay. So, first of all, I watched Fast 4 last night. So, you're talking to a Fast and Furious connoisseur, may I say. But you'll appreciate this even more. As a fan of Hobbs and Shaw, as a fan of the trailer like yourself, I had a good buddy of mine who actually had to move from San Diego away, and he was able to come back and visit for a few days. And during those few days, Hobbs and Shaw was out, and he was a Fast and Furious fan. That friend is Gabe. Gabe and I saw Hobbs and Shaw together when the movie was out because he was visiting from New Mexico, and we just had a few nights, so that was one of the things we did. So, yeah, I'm with you all the way on this, bro. You got to watch the rest of the Fast and Furious movies.
Well, Hobbs and Shaw is also like a 3.5-minute trailer. You get – that's like a short film. That's a good freaking trailer.
No doubt about it, bro. No doubt about it. I think, too, what's interesting is, like, with movies like that, you kind of do want to know the plot. Like – That isn't a movie that I think you need to be secretive with during the trailer, right? People are going because they like The Rock, they like Jason Statham, they like Fast and Furious, and they like action. They're not going because they want to see some crazy, mind-blowing, like, finish to a movie. They're going, they know what they're getting into. So you might as well, like, give them a little bit of that during the trailer. Bro, that's a great start. That's what I'm talking about right there, hitting lead off. That's what I needed right there. Okay, my first pick. 2014, Okay. I previously enjoyed this director's work. There were a couple movies that he did great job on, and so I was excited in itself. But in the exact opposite sense of Hobbs and Shaw, this movie showed 45 seconds to 1 minute of one scene from the movie, and that's all they were going to give you. And the movie's American Sniper. So at the time of its release, we didn't know much about it. We knew it was the Chris Kyle story. We knew Chris Kyle was this badass sniper in the military. Didn't know all that much more to it. And the scene they show, 45 seconds to a minute, is Chris Kyle on a rooftop, sniper in hand, finger on the trigger, right? And it shows him looking through the scope, and then you see a kid put a bomb into his vest, right? And Kyle's got to make this decision whether or not to shoot the kid.
Got a grenade. He's got an RKG Russian grenade. He's saying to the kid.
You say a woman and a kid?
You got eyes on this? Can you confirm?
Negative. Your call.
And it was the most intense 45 seconds to a minute I've ever seen of a movie trailer. And if you haven't seen it in a long time, go back, watch it. That blew my mind at the time of its release.
That's a good one. I watched that movie for the first time in Mexico. I remember it. I got room service at like 2 o'clock in the morning in Mexico. Burger, beer, American Sniper.
Sure, bro, that is, first of all, doing it in Mexico, I almost think is more American than if you had watched it in America.
All right, before I get to number two, that's an amazing pick. See, like, I didn't even think, that did not even cross my mind. So yeah. That's a good one.
So I knew four of them that I was going to use. These are trailers that I've always thought like stood out to me. The fifth one I kind of had to come to a decision on, which I was able to, obviously, but I knew four, and that was without a doubt one of them.
So I'm actually kind of going up my list with the last one is going to be my like, wow, that's a sure, fucking good one.
Sure.
All right. So this one's a little mainstream, okay, but I said the Force Awakens trailer.
I thought about it as well.
So the reason, very mainstream, but the reason being, okay, Star Wars was back, okay? That's enough right there, is that Star Wars was back.
That's it. That's the tweet, son.
But I was like, all right, this Rey girl's pretty cute, okay? And then I was like, this is going to be incredible because this is the most advanced they've ever been with effects, visual stuff, technology. So as excited as I was for the story, I was like, I just can't wait to get my eyes on this thing. So that's why it's in there for me.
Great choice. I think at the time when The Force Awakens came out, J.J. Abrams directed 1 and 3. He didn't do The Last Jedi, the second one in between the two.
Which stunk.
Okay, we'll save the Star Wars breakdowns for a different episode. Don't do that to me right now. Get fired up, son. You don't want that smoke right now. But we'll move on here to my next one. So when this movie came out, it kind of had a similar effect to what you're talking about with you get the return of a franchise, and that alone was exciting enough, right? Where I think this selection of mine is different is that it was going to revolve around an entirely new character, new vibe, new tone, a completely different story, and that's Creed. So, right? So we had the Rocky franchise dominate sports movies for 25 years. And first, we get this long extended break. The last few did not hit. They did not do well in the box office. People didn't like them that much. But when Creed rolled around, it was a different story. And it opens up with that shot of him like in the hallway in Mexico. He's just hitting, warming up against a wall, literally just punching a wall over and over. Ryan Coogler directs it. He had just come off of Fruitvale Station, which was like one of the hottest indies in a while. Michael B. Jordan was just on the rise to becoming an A-list superstar. And halfway through the trailer, you know, you realize he's Creed, and then they reveal that Rocky's gonna be the trainer in it.
This picture's from the 10th round of the first fight, right? I heard about a third fight between you and Apollo.
Behind closed doors.
Is that true?
How do you know all this?
I'm a son.
And so that culmination of a new exciting story with I mean, Rock, right? The Italian Stallion. We didn't need anything more from that trailer. The tone of it was perfect. You know, they're not trying to recover once was. They were able to find their own lane, drive the lane, pun intended there. But it was just perfect. The music, you know, the predecessor leading up to it, the long break, and eventually the reveal that Rocky's going to be the trainer to the illegitimate son of Apollo Creed.
I know we're not going off on movie tangents, but Creed 2 was about as disappointing as it gets for me for movies.
Yeah, you know, different director. I had a feeling that was going to happen. A lot of things fell off. I think the fight scenes for me is the biggest difference. Like in the first one, the fight scenes are beautiful. They're so artistic. And in the second one, it's just like that corny, like 1980s style, like boxing. You get hit in the face 10 times and you fight back. Like, just did not hold up the same as the first one. I'm with you on that.
You know, a lot of mine are a little more recent, and I think the reason for that is because they've really been perfected the last 5 years or so. You know, we kind of got away from the in a world where...
Yeah, yeah.
I do have one that stretches back to 2010, which I'm saving. I'm telling you, it's a big
review. Oh, come on now. I got one from 2010.
Might be the same one. I got a feeling.
Probably is.
All right, so my next one. This... arguably could have been my number one. I have the Joker trailer.
God, that's a great inclusion, and I don't have it.
So it could have been my number one, but you'll hear my number one. So I don't think it's quite – it's not very rewatchable. I feel like I've watched the Joker, and, like, that's a mental ride, and I'm one and done with watching the Joker. The movie itself is not as rewatchable to me, but it's so, so good and so cool. And it's a different version of a comic book superhero movie than we've ever seen. Todd Phillips, who directed The Hangover, is now directing a dark, deep, crazy movie. And Joaquin Phoenix, incredible. I'm telling you, it could have been my number one, but I put it at number three, and you'll hear why because of my two and one. But the Joker trailer, absolutely incredible.
It's a great choice. I have no problem with that inclusion at all. I think what's interesting about the Joker trailer, I guess I'd have to watch it now, but they were able to convey the message that of what you're talking about, that this is not your stereotypical superhero movie. This is not your stereotypical Todd Phillips movie. Joaquin Phoenix picks like one movie to do every 5 years, and you put those three things together and it made you realize, whoa, okay, this trailer's telling me something. This is not going to be it. Like, this is going to be a wild ride.
Mm-hmm. So good.
All right. So I'll move on here. I think this is a good explanation, I think. Okay. So, and it's interesting because a lot of these movies do have like such a historical impact, right? They have like ties to the 80s, the 90s. Maybe there are a lot of franchise pieces or whatever. So, movie trailer that came out in 2017 had a character that lasted almost two decades. But in this movie, they were going to do something different, and they were going to give it an R rating. And this character had historically always been like a PG-13 franchise blockbuster. And the movie's Logan. So when Hugh Jackman returned and they said, all right, this is going to be like the last dance for Hugh Jackman and Wolverine, everyone wanted to know, well, we've seen him in like six, seven different movies. How are we going to change that up from what we've seen? And they gave it an R rating. And so the trailer's great itself. The one they showed during commercials and stuff like that. They play Johnny Cash doing his rendition of Hurt by the Nine Inch Nails. And it's amazing. Like, it is beautiful. And it captures the character perfectly. But that wasn't it. They released a Red Band trailer that allows F-bombs, allows violence in the trailer. And so through the first half, through almost the majority of the trailer itself, it's the same old trailer that they'd always been showing. And then at the very end, they show Wolverine sending like his claws through a guy's skull. And you're like, oh my God, this is going to be the gnarliest we've ever seen Wolverine. And the movie lived up to the hype, making it that much easier to include it in the movie or in this list.
So I think what's interesting is I'd say Joker and Logan kind of
Yeah.
It's funny how we each had one of those. And, you know, I'm Marvel over DC, but I've never really been into the X-Men movies. You know, so I was more into a Batman story, despite really zero connection to Batman and Joker. I was more interested in a Batman story than I was an X-Men story, which is interesting why I would have Joker versus, I feel like you're an X-Men guy.
I definitely was growing up. I think the last two that they've done have been really bad, like Apocalypse, and then I didn't even see Dark Phoenix or whatever it was called. I mean, they literally announced today it lost $133 million in the box office. So, yeah, it was the biggest flop of the year. I didn't see it. But it's definitely like those movies have faded for me. I'm really excited, though, that Disney's getting the reins on them. And now, I mean, we could see the Avengers, you know, teaming up now with the X-Men, and I'm pretty stoked on that. So,
all right, this is the one we're both going to have. All right.
All right, you can go ahead, and we'll just go back and forth on it, and that's totally cool.
It's the first Endgame trailer that came out.
Yeah.
So for me, okay, this is my number two because it could have been like this. So I have this theory that I think I've told you about, and I'll use my own name as example. So I have this theory that there was this kid in our fraternity. I'm not going to tell you his name. I can tell you after, okay? And he was the worst basketball player of all the people who played basketball, okay? So, like, if someone who's never picked up a basketball in their life, they wouldn't get to be included in this list, you know? And we called it – I'm not going to say this guy's name. We called it the Andrew basketball theory, okay? Because this person, will use me, Andrew, was the worst player of all the people eligible.
I have no idea where you're going with this, but I am so deep into it. Whatever you're saying, I'm in.
So what I'm saying is all these trailers that we're saying are like number one, number one, number one are like Andrew basketball theory, because Endgame is just in its own tier. Like you would say that, like, that girl's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. Andrew basketball theory, because obviously she's not as beautiful as Carmen Electra.
You know? Sure, so like, which we will tiers. Get into later there's in the podcast.
Tiers. Right, there's tiers. So Endgame is above everything else, but I didn't want to give it number one because that's just too easy. I mean, Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man narrating it, okay? Yeah. You've been waiting for months since you walked out of the theater from Infinity War to see it, and it really didn't tell us anything besides the name.
Dog, I mean, you got my notes to a T. I literally quote, this is my notes. I suspect that you have this movie in your list as well, but I needed to make sure it'd be recognized. It was the culmination of 20 plus years, or 20 plus movies, and it doesn't give away all that much. Like it. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what we were saying about the franchise thing, that for some reason franchises and blockbusters are able to make these great, great trailers. Endgame is no exception, right? Like, we just won. And I think you consider the cliffhanger that we left off of, right, in Infinity War. Thanos pulls the snap, and half the characters we love are gone. And you're just so desperate to know what's going to happen next. How are they going to figure it out? How are they going to find a solution? Whatever it may be. And they don't even hint at that in the movie. So I'm with you on this one, bro. I remember watching it 4 or 5 times within like 2 hours of its release. I remember the day it happened at school. And I think social media has a little bit of a factor to play in this. You know, you're talking about how in the last 4 to 5 years they've perfected movies. I think they make it really easy now for people to be scrolling on Twitter, scrolling through YouTube, find a trailer of a movie that they've watched clips of previously, and they're like, oh, this would be a recommended. Boom, there's an Endgame for you right on your YouTube or Twitter page, whatever it is, and it's so easy to go viral that way.
God, it was so good and so exciting, and it was still so far away. It was like 5 more months. Whatever.
Yeah. Happy National happy National Superhero Day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah, you know, just good timing, I guess. Is this your last movie now?
Yeah, I got one more.
Okay, and okay, perfect.
Talk number one, going all the way back to 2010.
Yeah, I mean, they're both from the same year. This has to be the same movie.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you the clues first. The song choice in the trailer is phenomenal.
Okay.
It's a very rewatchable movie.
Yeah.
Trailer doesn't give too much away.
Now I'm not so sure.
Mark Zuckerberg is fascinating.
Yeah, that's it. Social network.
Say you swear to God that we both have it.
I mean, do you want me to send a photo of my link? Right, like it's the social network, bro. I know it's the social network.
That is unbelievable that we both have that.
No, it is, but it isn't, because it's deserving of being on this list. And funny, actually, this is really bizarre. But okay, so the Logan trailer, the movie or the song "Hurt" by Johnny Cash, originally done by the Nine Inch Nails. That's a Nine Inch Nails lead music guy, Trent Reznor, does the music for the Social Network. So for whatever reason, dude, he just has the magic touch when it comes to trailers. But yeah, bro, I'll let you take the floor first on it. It's perfect.
Well, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg's awesome. Zuckerberg is just about as fascinating as you get. And everyone uses Facebook. I mean, it was, you know, to be honest, it's a trailer that I've watched more definitely like after I saw the movie. Like, I don't remember how I felt when I saw the trailer when we were like 13. But just any time, like, I watch movie trailers. I know you do too. Yeah. It's just such an exciting trailer. And the movie is so short and so easy to get through that the trailer is rewatchable and the movie is rewatchable. And it's funny that we both have it.
It is. You know, I was talking with Uncle Luke last week about movies. I don't even know how it came up. We were talking about The Social Network, though. And he goes, it might be the last great movie poster as well. I feel like for a long time, instead of the trailer, it was all about the movie poster, right? And Social Network, funny enough, has both. It has an amazing trailer, but the poster that I hope you're looking up right now.
I am.
Okay, so it's Eisenberg's face, right? Zuckerberg on the front, and it says, "You don't make a billion friends without making a few enemies." And it, bro, it's the tone of the movie. It matches. You know what you're getting into. And in 2010, like, Facebook was maybe even more relevant than it is now. And now it has a second life because of all the, like, data intelligence and the deal that happened with Mark Zuckerberg. Dude, I don't know. I think we're going to hold this movie in a really high regard 50 years down the line, even though it may not be 100% factual or whatever. Dude, it's just entertaining, fun, and it's kind of a what if this is how it happened scenario. I mean, Tarantino does that all the time where he takes a movie, bases it off history, you know, makes a few minor tweaks here and there, and then it's like, hey, yeah, this is my version of the story.
Yeah, I can't stand when people are like, it wasn't 100% factually accurate. Like, Bohemian Rhapsody was apparently had some parts that weren't true. And I was like, I don't care that there was – I was like, the movie was entertaining. I don't care if Freddie Mercury was wearing a different pair of shoes at that concert. I'm like, it was entertaining and social I guess it's not that crazy that we both had a number one on our list, because there's only been a couple movies ever.
That movie, though, and that trailer stands out. I mean, I think if you talk to a lot of movie people, they bring up The Social Network.
Friends, pictures, profiles. I'm talking about taking the entire social experience of college and putting it online.
Site got 2,200 hits within 2 hours.
22,000.
Because it is that good, though. Like, you just because it's a popular pick or whatever doesn't take it away. I think the same thing with Endgame. Can I hear a couple of the honorable mentions?
Absolutely. So honorable mentions. So one of my honorable mentions, The Last Dance trailer. It's a documentary, so I wasn't going to throw it in
little,
there.
Kind a little of recency, a little recency bias, but I'm willing to accept it.
Yeah. Dark Knight Rises franchise, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but that's too mainstream.
But it's in my honorable mention list as well. Another one where like the music carries the tone of the trailer.
Us.
Oh, okay.
But the reason Us gets a lot of credit because of how good Get Out was. You know, when you see second movie from Jordan Peele, it automatically makes the trailer more exciting.
Another trailer, and I keep saying this over and over, but it's another trailer kind of like inclined by the song. It's Lunas 5 on it, right?
Where's Jason?
Jason!
Jason!
Where were you?
I didn't know if you were lost. Stick with me, and I'll keep you safe.
Bro, that I remember that was popping, bro, when that came out. People were talking about it. And okay, so then I have one more inclusion or an honorable mention. The movie was not good, but the trailer was really good. And there's actually,
I know what you're gonna say.
It's Suicide Squad.
Yep.
Bro, the trailer's amazing. It's upbeat, action packed. Like, you get a sense of the chemistry of the characters. Apparently, the trailer was so good that the producers and investors of the film said, oh, the film's not like the trailer. We need the guys who made the trailer to have their touch on the editing room. And so then after the movie was done, they made more changes to the film so that it would match the like tone of the trailer. I think you're an Entourage fan in Entourage. Medellin has a very, very good trailer.
I actually will surprise you. I've not seen Entourage.
Wow. Okay, we'll save that one for another time because
I should be binging.
I don't want to chew you up on live air right now. I feel like that'd be a little disrespect. My dad's watching it for the first time right now, so I've been rewatching it with him. And dude, he's loving it. Ask Gabe, bro. I'm telling you, ask the guys in AEPI. Like,
yeah,
you're a guy our age with similar interests and whatnot. Like, you're gonna be into the show. I promise you that.
Well, I got one more. So
talk to me.
22 Jump Street, because 21 Jump Street is one of my favorite comedies ever. So again, just the sequel effect. Go ahead to throw it in there.
Wrap it up. Last Dance a little bit this week. You know, I think a lot of people were really stoked on how the two episodes that came out. Like they were stoked on how they went. I know some people are getting confused by like the back and forth dynamic of the documentary. I'm having no problem keeping up with it, but I also think I said this last week, like, I'm a little bit of the exception to the rule in the sense that, like, I did my homework as, like, a 7-year-old to watch Michael Jordan full games, and I probably should have been using my time as a child doing other things, but that's what I wanted to do. So I knew a lot of these stories, but the details are crazy. Dennis Rodman's story was fantastic. The Pistons saga is amazing. And then they go right into Phil Jackson. I mean, the two episodes didn't really miss.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because we have been on the same page about every single thing. It's kind of weird how similar our thoughts have been.
Okay.
So I agree with the timeline thing. The timeline thing is a little frustrating. It's not hard for me to follow, as you're saying, but it is a little frustrating where they'll show highlights from the Last Dance season, and then all of a sudden Rodman's back on the Pistons. You know, I would have liked if the beginning of the Rodman episode was all Rodman on the Pistons and the end was all Rodman on the Bulls. Like, I didn't like that they talked about Rodman on the Pistons and then on the Bulls and then they lost to the Pistons, you know?
I think something that I would have enjoyed if they had talked about more about that transition from having a guy that you were so competitive with to having him on your team. I feel like of all the things, they didn't really get to that. They told the Pistons stories, but they didn't talk about Rodman per se on the Pistons. Then they talked about Rodman on the Bulls, but they didn't acknowledge that they had spent 4 years going up against the guy like within the decade and suffered some of their most important losses as a team together against him. Yeah, they kind of missed that dynamic. I'm really not that bothered by the back and forth thing, but I have a pet peeve when it comes. So they were talking about the Pistons, right? They're talking about, you know, the struggles against them, about how dirty the Pistons games were, how physical, how violent they were. And, you know, eventually they just show Jordan going off and winning in 91. I feel like if they had shown more of the struggles from Jordan, it would like increase the intensity of the rise and victory afterwards. So in 1989, I think it's game 5, or game 4, Jordan goes 5-for-15 from the field, I believe. Okay. Game 5, they bounce back. He's been criticized by Doug Collins. He's been criticized by the media. In game 5, Jordan puts up 8 shot attempts, nowhere to be mentioned in the documentary. Like, zero mention at all. like, you could bring up the struggle of that series, of that game, and say, yeah, I took 8 shots, I wasn't aggressive enough, and that's kind of what made me go crazy like a motherfucker in 91. Like, if they tell that story, I think it's just way more interesting than if they just gloss over the times that Jordan struggles.
So something that really bugs me about this documentary, so I'm a LeBron guy. So what bugs me about the documentary is not the Jordan versus LeBron stuff. It's that the stuff that they've shown that LeBron gets killed for is displayed as like amazing preparation of turning Jordan into who he became. And like, they look at LeBron losing in the finals with this to the Spurs as a negative of his career, but then a positive of Jordan's career is not making it to the finals and losing to the Pistons because they were so much stronger. It's just like, I don't want to, what I wish people could do is don't discredit Jordan, but then also don't discredit LeBron for the same things. GOAT argument aside, they should be held to the same standard.
I mean, when the GOAT discussion is brought up, and we'll save this for a different time where I can like really lay out my thoughts, but when you're talking about GOATs, if I'm arguing that LeBron is the greatest of all time, I should not mention the word Jordan or MJ or Mike in my argument. And if you're arguing that Jordan is the GOAT, don't say, oh, LeBron did this. It shouldn't be about what the other person did or didn't do. It should be solely about this person claimed that title by doing this. Don't pull down the opponent, because that's not how, these two have too great of careers to do that. I think you'd be picking nits at what their careers have like ultimately captured if you're going to do that. So just support who you're going to support. That's been a pet peeve of mine, both sides, because I'm split on the debate itself on the GOAT. We get the Dennis in Vegas story. He needs vacation. Carmen Electra's hiding naked behind a couch when Jordan walks in. They're fucking, they're fucking all over the Chicago Bulls practice facility. Where do you want to start here? It's exhausting.
I got to say something. So Michael Jordan, the notorious cigar smoker, drinker, gambler. Sure. You mean to tell me he just went to Vegas, grabbed Rodman, and left?
Bullshit.
Right. I mean,
bullshit.
I mean, if you don't think he said, hey, man, you got 30 minutes to get your stuff and get ready to go, I'll be downstairs. I don't want to come back.
I'm at the tables.
Right. Yeah. So I just, the stories they're telling make me want to hear more about the little off stories. I want to hear more about Pippen and Krause making fun of each other. I want to hear more about Rodman going to Vegas. I want to hear more about, they already have the Bad Boys Pistons documentary, but it makes you want to watch that right now.
Yeah. So my one thing with Krause, and this was said after the first week, it's brutal that he's not alive to defend himself.
Right.
Like, that is just so unfair to the guy. You know, he clearly did his job. He won the team, you know, at the leadership position of GM, won them 6 rings. He was doing something right. And of course, he doesn't get to defend himself now.
They also haven't mentioned that he's not alive. Not only does he not get to defend himself, they haven't been like,
rest
Jerry
in peace,
Krause,
Jerry
rest
Krause.
His soul.
Yeah.
Like this fat idiot that we hate. Like, it's just weird. They don't, like, Jordan doesn't say, like, to his credit, he drafted Pippen. He found Kukoc. He's just like, shits on him. Also, did they forget? Kukoc has even been shown in a clip. I'm hoping the Kukoc episode is coming because I'm friends with his, I grew up with his daughter. Can I tell a Tony Kukoc story?
I mean, you just dropped, that's a name drop. I mean, go ahead. I mean, I'm not the one to stop you.
So I'm not very good friends with his daughter anymore, college, whatever. But in middle school, I went to Tony's house and I walk in and he's wearing boxers that would have been jeans on me and you. Okay. He opens the door, says, come in. He's in his boxers. And I think I went downstairs for a little in his basement and came back up and I was kind of talking with him. Because, you know, to me it was like Tony Kukoc, but I wasn't nervous to talk to him because he wasn't a current Bulls player. you know, and he was older and I was in like seventh grade. And I'm talking to him and he looks at me and he goes, "You want to see my rings?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he pointed and he had a box with his rings in it and he showed me them.
Dude, that's amazing. Dude, that is incredible, bro. No, dude, you talk about the stretch forward thing, right? Like everyone always brings up unicorns and like Kukoc was a little bit of that guy early on, a little bit of like that stretch four mentality, big body, European.
You just sounded like Mel Kiper.
Todd.
Big body, European.
Yeah, big body, European, really runs the field well. And the last question I think we can get into is the Phil Jackson. Dude, he's a nut, bro. Full Zen master, tribal, Native American. Does that mentality still work today? Does it work more today? Like,
it works if you have LeBron.
Sure.
It works if you have LeBron, or it works if you have Jordan, Pippen, Shaq, and Kobe. Then that mentality will work. Also, when the movie about Phil Jackson comes out that's played by actors, I think Kramer needs to play him because the way he like moves in practice, yeah, he needs to play.
Okay. It's got to be tall. I mean, you got to be, so you got to be 6'10". And it's funny because like at the end of the Phil Jackson episode, they were talking about him as a player with the Knicks, right? And they're like, he was kind of like Rodman, but not as like freak athlete type, whatever. Like he was just long and lanky, but he played that same way where it's like, all right, I'm going to get a rebound. I'm going to set hard screens. I'm going to play crazy good defense. I'm going to probably piss you off in doing so, but we're probably going to win too. So I was always kind of along the lines of like Shaq and Kobe, Jordan Pippen. Yeah, it's easy to win. Dude, kind of seeing what they go through behind closed doors, I have a little more admiration and respect for what Jackson actually does.
I agree. This has made it, it's been a little more eye-opening, but I think they both needed each other, much like Jordan and Pippen, and much like Larry Hughes and LeBron needed each other, you know,
wow.
similar yeah. situations.
Yeah, I'm more of a Zydrunas Ilgauskas guy, personally.
Big Z.
Big Z, baby. Andrew Zolden, thank you for the time, my guy. What's the Twitter handle?
Well, I'm just at Andrew Zolden, and then Drive the Lane is at the Drive the Lane, or at Drive the Lane Pod. Bo, this has been a lot of fun. I'm a Good. Big fan of the show.
Appreciate
love
it,
listening,
bro.
So I'm happy I was able to come on.
Dude, I love having you on.
This is a little different than when I came on for the Browns. You know, this is an episode.
Yeah, this is a full-length episode. This is also positive talking. We get to talk about good things, right? The Browns didn't always give that to you. So when you would call in on Mondays or Tuesdays, it was really just like a 20-minute storm of sadness regarding like a disappointing Browns loss in the middle of the season. So I was glad that we could talk about things that you and I love, the Bulls movie trailers and what else? Oh, NFL draft. Yeah, man, a fun episode. Appreciate you, my guy. Follow him on Twitter. Follow Drive the Lane on Twitter. Subscribe to him. Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, right? All of the which.
Not as much SoundCloud anymore, but definitely okay. Apple and Spotify.
Apple and Spotify it is. Thank you, my guy. Appreciate the time.